This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Welcome to Mission Breakthrough. Today we are going to look at what is praise, forgiveness, and how God accepts us. Praise is the exaltation and of God's name and Jesus' name. For example, in Psalm 148 and 149 and 150, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heavenly heights above. It has 14 verses and each one is exalting and praising God. In Psalm 149, it starts off with the words, "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands." In Psalm 150, "Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. praise him for his surpassing greatness. Psalm 150 ends by saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We can praise God for who he is and for what he does. We can praise Jesus for dying on the cross so that we may be forgiven. When we invite him into our lives, Jesus saves us from our sin. He also forgives us and cleanses us. Because Jesus rose again and lives forevermore, we can praise him and thank him by believing and trusting that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died and rose again. The more you learn about what is right, the more you will be aware how unrighteous you are. Only the proud of heart feel that they have made it to some state of personal goodness. Christ is the only unselfish, sinless person in the world. Only his presence in you makes you any better than the most sinful person who ever lived. Then what can we boast about to earn our salvation? Well, nothing at all. Why? Because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds. It is based on what Jesus Christ has done and our faith in him. So it is that we are saved by faith in Christ and not by the good things we do. That is found in Romans 3:27 and 28. Abraham was never accepted by God because of good deeds, but because of his faith. Abraham was not a good man, even by moral standards of his day. He had a beautiful wife, and as he was going into an alien country, he knew that the people there might decide to rob him of some of his possessions, his cattle, or even his beautiful wife. So to make his life easier, he decided to introduce his wife Sarah as a sister. This way, he reasoned, any dangerous male suitors would show him favors instead of trying to kill him. And sure enough, it happened as Abraham had expected. The king himself saw Sarah and wanted her for his wife. She was brought to the palace, and Abraham was bestowed with fine gifts. Now, what did Abraham do? Make plans to rescue his wife? Not at all. He simply enjoyed his good fortune. God himself had to intervene and show the king that Abraham had been deceitful. Would you accept Abraham as a member of your church? Consider the question carefully. God accepted Abraham not because he lived up to the moral standards, obviously, but because Abraham believed in God. His faith was accepted as all the goodness he needed. You see, Abraham may not be good in your eyes, but he was good in God's eyes because he believed. For being saved is a gift. If a person could earn it by being good, it wouldn't be free. But it is. It is given to those who do not work for it. God declares sinners to be good in the sight of God if they have faith in Jesus Christ, who saves them from God's wrath. Romans 4 verse 5. We are made good in God's sight. If you really believed this, you would be excited about it. Would you want to tell others how simple it is to become a Christian? Just think of it. Around you are millions of people who actually believe that to become a Christian, they must be good enough. God's gift is free. It is by God's kindness that we are saved. That is, saved from our sin. Then it is not by their being good enough. For in that case, the free gift would no longer be free. It isn't free when it is earned. Sometimes we can never understand why and how God does something, but God wants us to understand the why and know how and when God does something. However, he wants us to accept with our understanding that he does it. This is the basis for our praise. God wants us to understand that he loves us and that he has a plan for us. And we know that all things that happen to us are working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plan. That's found in Romans 8:28. Are you surrounded by difficult circumstances? Have you been struggling to understand why they have come to you? Then try to accept with your understanding that God does love you and has allowed those circumstances because he knows they are good for you. Praise him for what he has brought into your life. Do it deliberately and with your understanding. As long as we praise God with an eye secretly looking for the expected results, we're only kidding ourselves, and we can be certain that nothing will happen to change us or our situation. Praise is based on a total and joyful acceptance of the present as part of God's loving, perfect will for us. Praise is not based on what we think or hope will happen in the future. An absolute law, clearly observable in the practice of praise. We praise God not for what we expect to happen in or around us, but we praise him for what he is and where and how we are right now. It is, of course, a fact that when we honestly praise God, something happens as a result. His power obviously begins to flow into the situation, and we will notice sooner or later a change in us or around us. The change may be that we come to experience a real joy and happiness in the midst of what once appeared to be a miserable situation, or the situation may change. But this is a result of praise and must not be the motivation for praise. Praise is not a bargaining position. We don't say, "I'll praise you if you will bless me, Lord." To praise is to delight ourselves in the Lord. The psalmist wrote, be delighted with the Lord. Then he will give you the desires of your heart. You'll find that in Psalm 37, verse 4. Notice the order of importance here. We don't make a list of our heart's desires and then delight ourselves in the Lord in order to get them. We are first to be delightful, and once we've experienced being really delighted with God, we will discover that everything else becomes secondary. Still, it is true that God does want to give us all our heart's desires. Nothing short of that is his wish and plan for us. We are told to trust Jesus and praise him and watch him work. This is essentially how Jesus Christ operated during his time of ministry. Jesus openly admitted that of himself he could not do anything. His part was to submit to his Father's will in perfect obedience and trust. He used his faith so that God's power could meet the needs of the people. How did Jesus pray? Did he plead with God to perform a miracle? He looked up to heaven and, praising God, gave thanks and broke the loaves and kept on giving them to his disciples to set before the people. And he also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. Some may object and say, but that was Jesus. He knew what God would do. It couldn't work for us. But Jesus told his followers in solemn truth, I tell you that anyone believing in me will do the same miracles I have done, and even greater ones, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask him for anything in my name, and I will do it. For this will bring praise to the Father. You can find that in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 13. Some people have taken Jesus at his word, thanked him and praised him for a limited food supply, and seen it stretch to feed many more than it was originally projected for. When Jesus was confronted with the deaths of Lazarus, he again prayed a simple prayer of thanksgiving. When the stone was rolled away from the grave opening where Lazarus had been buried for 4 days, Jesus lifted up his eyes, Father, thank you for hearing me. In John 11:41, then he commanded Lazarus to come from the grave, and the man who had been dead 4 days walked out. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to earth to make it possible for us to praise God. Isaiah the prophet foretold Jesus' coming and said that he would come to preach the gospel of good tidings, to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison doors, as well as the fact that people find themselves imprisoned within themselves. Also, the opening of the eyes that have been blinded to the fact that Jesus Christ is not only died, but that he rose again. And also for those who are bound to grant consolation and joy. That is, who consolation, they have been set free, and all of a sudden they find that they have a new joy in a certain situation. To those also who mourn, may indeed they find a new joy within their life, because they know that they too can have new life as they come to Jesus Christ. Also, because of what Jesus did upon the cross, people having believed in him and receiving forgiveness for their sin, they found that they had a new joy. And people can find this today. Very often people find themselves mourning for a particular thing. It might have been a person who has died, but it may also be a situation that crops up within their life. And Jesus, as they take it to him, they will find that they have a new joy within them. And so the garment of praise instead of a heavy, burdened and failing spirit. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, you may recognize your own condition on the list. Are you brokenhearted, bound by physical limitations, sicknesses, spiritual limitations, in physical prison or imprisoned by your own spiritual blindness? Are you mourning, unable to rejoice, be thankful, or praise God? Is your spirit heavenly burdened and failing? Perhaps it is because you haven't fully accepted and understood the goodness Jesus came to bring. Praise is an active response to what we know that God has done. What he is doing for us within our lives and in this world through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ not only died, but he rose again and he is alive today. And you might feel, well, I can't come to him. But remember the story of Abraham. Abraham, remember, he was not a righteous man, but it wasn't because, but he was forgiven, and because he turned to God, because when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, he had you and me in mind. And if we put our trust in the fact that Jesus not only died for our sin so that we could be forgiven, why? Because you and myself are not good enough to be forgiven by anything that we might do. But it was the very fact that when Jesus was dying on that cross, he was taking the punishment for you and for me. And because of that, this is the reason why we can come to Jesus. This is the reason why we can be forgiven. And this is the reason that we can start a new life with knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ not only died, but that he's alive today. I know I found it for myself one night, and I became a changed man in one night. I also found this, that the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us in a new way, and that he gives us a new power, a power that we've never had before. I remember that first, when I found this out, God placed in my heart to go and pray for a woman, a friend of the family's. I went up there and I prayed for her. She had a steel rod in her back. And the amazing thing is that God did a work within her. And wonderful, and I have also seen, of course, since, men and women who have come to the Lord, who have found that he is living and real. No, not religion. I'm not talking about that. But the fact that Jesus died for you and for me. And of course, also many other people who have found that God also heals physically, mentally, and spiritually. May each one listening today come and start and find Jesus Christ personally for yourself, for he certainly lives today and he lives forevermore. May the Lord bless you all this coming month.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.